Oh man, Joel and I almost perfectly align on the record prediction.
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Very nice. You $1 bobbed
him. I $1 bobbed him, yeah.
That's fair.
I actually was thinking 94.68, and then I saw it on the show, and I was like, well, we're going to do this then.
Got a $1 in.
I'm not going to $1 down. Fuck that.
One win.
One and 161.
And welcome to episode 60 of Dad's Talking Dads. This is a podcast about your favorite baseball team, the San Diego Padres. My name is Johnny, and I am joined by my fellow compadres, Joel and Tony. Joel, how's it going?
It's going really well. As I just mentioned seconds ago, pre-show, I got a new Padres cap, got one of the brown caps, sand lettering, feeling good, ready for the season to start. I can't believe it's starting next week. Incredible. Excited for the show today.
Very, very ready for the season to start. Tony, how are you doing?
Doing very well. I echo Joel's sentiments that it's kind of unbelievable that it's next week. I feel like spring training is exciting the first few days, and then you're just kind of like, I'm over this. I want the real season. And then you kind of tune out, and then you're like, oh, wait, it actually is almost real season time. Wow. So I am extremely excited, excited to run through our various awards and dishonors today. But it's going pretty well. Can't complain. It's actually really, Joel, I'm sure you can echo this as well. It's really beautiful today and this weekend. It's been kind of sunny but cold. Well, Southern California cold. Let's preface this. Southern California cold. So like 60 degrees. But it hasn't truly been sunny and warm. And it's just perfect today. And it's supposed to be perfect tomorrow. So overall feeling really, really good.
Same here out in Phoenix. Yeah, it was like it's been sunny and then just kind of cloudy a little bit most of the week, but yeah, today is like absolutely gorgeous outside.
Yeah, we got a little rain on Thursday too out here. I don't know where Tony's at, he did, but for Ramona for sure we got a lot of rain on Thursday. Good. So the air is super clear and visibility's high. It's the best. I love it.
Yeah, which means flowers might be right. We're about that time of year. Yeah, we're right there. In that time of year. Yeah, that's true. We're getting close. Flowers are sprouting and spring training is coming to an end, thank God.
Although so I gotta say real quick ASAP,
yeah,
I would I'd love to be the guy, and I'm sure there's a couple of, you know, maybe tens of people out there that didn't know the rule about being able to just end an inning this year for spring training.
I'd love
to be the fan who just didn't get the memo and was like, what the hell is going on? There's one out and the bases are loaded and they're walking off the field.
Oh, especially if you just had like a couple beers, you're just a little, you're already like just a little, you know, at it. What are they doing? Are they protesting? Oh, come on. Is the game over? Oh my God. Yeah, that was I was kind of glad they did that, but I did see sometimes it was employed kind of like in a lame way, and it was, you know, bait. I think there was a White Sox, but I don't know, you know, little things like that in spring training, I guess that's the time to
be interesting. Also to see somebody try to game the system and just maliciously end innings before they even start. Fuck it, no, this inning's over, you don't get any ABs today.
Lead off double, roll the inning.
Yep,
roll,
we're done.
They're getting hot. Nope. Roll it.
Mm-mm. No. That'd be great. That'd be great if there was like some kind of counter, like the other manager could have like two mulligans a game. He was just like, no, we're redoing that at bat. Like, that's for next year. They're gonna add mulligans.
Oh, starting pitcher Draw throws first stop. Pitch and it's a ball. Roll the inning.
Yeah.
Roll the game. Roll starting it. Over.
No.
Get Let's tomorrow's to the starter, fifth, guys. Right here.
so many interesting changes that are occurring, especially in the minors. Did you guys see that? Like, there's a lot of going on in the minors, and I don't have the article in front of me, but it's some stuff they've been talking about and some other weird stuff. I think they're the wider bases, that's a minor league thing this season, right? Or is that majors as well?
No, that's
minor just minors league. I think, right?
Yeah, and they're doing different things at different levels of the minors. So I think like AAA has a set of changes, and then AA has a set of changes, which is sort of interesting. But then you don't really know what those changes would then do together with one another. So, but I mean, I'm all for trying that out in the minors. I don't care. Like, if they want to test killing the shift down there, then okay, let's see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, it could be worse. I feel like that's the place to do it. You know, as we've spoken about a couple of times, the season is nigh upon us. So this is going to be our season predictions and bold predictions episode. So we're going to go over giving out some of our season end award predictions, some of our predictions for what might happen during the season. We've got a few listener predictions we want to take a look at. But before we get into all of that, we've got to discuss our number of the week. And this number is 5. And it's a very topical number. I will give you guys that. It's very topical. It's salient to this episode. I love that word.
I'm on a deep, deep drought for number of the week. I've been making jokes to sort of deflect, but yeah, I have no idea. Again, I might need another clue. A raging clue.
Man, it's related to a period of time.
Is it days till the season starts?
Boom.
And the episode. Nice. It's over. The episode's over. I won
Roll
again.
Roll the episode.
I won again.
Roll the episode.
I don't even know what I won the first time. I'm just saying I won again. I'm posturing.
Who do you think you are? I am. So yeah, 5 days until the season is starting. I mean, we've already kind of, you know, talked about it here, I guess, for the last few minutes, so not too much more to talk about, but I am curious, are either of you planning on attending a game at Petco Park? No judgment if either of you say yes, because I could totally understand arguing.
Well, I know in California, what is it, the 15th, I think everybody is available to get the vaccine. So once my family and I, well, the kids won't be able to get vaccinated because they're under 16, but once the wife and I are vaccinated, yeah, I don't see any reason not to. I plan to go as soon as there's availability to get seats. I think it's going to be tough, though, because there's going to be limited capacity. So assuming I can get tickets, I'm going to try to.
Yeah.
For less than like $500 hairs.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think the obtaining them is going to be harder than obtaining a vaccine very quickly. And I kind of share Joel's sentiment. Like, my birthday's in August. That's kind of like just an arbitrary, date that I'm thinking of. Is like, that gives plenty of time for a lot of the kinks to be worked out, a lot of the logistics to be planned, maybe the capacity to be increased, so tickets won't be as painful to obtain. If someone said, "Hey, do you want to go to a game next week?" I would say, "No, thank you. I'm not fully vaccinated. My immediate others in my household are not fully vaccinated, so that's just not going to happen in the near future. But like this year, I would hope so. I want to. I'm optimistic.
I've been feeling like not as optimistic, but I feel like it's because I was able to get my second shot today. Thankfully, I'm gonna be, you know, fully vaccinated once it totally kicks in. But because I kind of forgot that. This is kind of silly. I was like, I kind of forgot that Petco's outdoors because I'm so used to in Phoenix with Chase Field, especially in the summer, like that roof is not open.
Yeah.
Or like they'll open it like a little bit at night or something, like once it gets late enough, but like for the most part, it's not open. So I'm like, even vaccinated, I'm like, oh man, I really want to go, but like, I don't want to go into like a...
Yeah.
And Arizona, I know, is already and is going to be being more lax than California. So maybe I'll just go to a game at Dad's game once we're all vaxxed.
Yeah.
Joint birthday, joint Joel-Tony birthday.
Hell yeah.
That'll be it. All right. I'm glad we thought of that.
John, I do want to say, for getting your second vaccine, your third arm that you've grown is just lovely. Really came in quickly. It's only been a couple hours and it's already looking strong as ever.
Yeah, and I know they talked about, you know, like some people online and with the Q supporters about the 5G and, you know, Bill Gates and all that kind of override complete COVID vaccine engage. I mean, I'm completely fine, you guys. Like, there's nothing at all wrong. I don't.
Well, your Teletubby style Microsoft Surface screen on your stomach is got the blue screen of death right now. So you should probably get that checked out.
Power now.
Johnny's eyes just say 404.
Oh my God. Yeah. So, yeah, I gotta say, if you have the opportunity, I did get the Pfizer one, and so far, I had like no, other than being sleepy, no side effects, and my, same with Danny. Got sleepy the first time. This second one, I feel nothing as the that guy from Pirates of the Caribbean says in the first one when he's talking about how they're dead. He's like, I feel nothing. Jeffrey Rush, that's his name. There we go.
I love just that guy from Pirates 1.
you know that guy. Come on, the guy from Pirates. Come on. Very much. Adjust myself on this. Yeah, floppy hat. There we go. Knew that was going somewhere. There's no better time to move on to this prediction.
That's as good as it gets.
Yeah, that's what else can. And so we'll start with the most important award, and this is aptly named the Father of the Year, the Padre del Año. And this is the MVP, the most valuable Padre. And we'll just go by the way the names are. Latoni, why don't you go first with your choice? And should we share? I feel like we should share the 2020 choices since they're there.
I mean, I would love to, because mine all look great. If you guys want to revel in the shame, I won't stop you.
I had some ugly ones. And we also, it also shows, oh my God, there was a lot of turnover from one seat to the next. So yours last year was the one, the only, Manuel Machado, Manny Machado. Who is it for this year?
I'm actually going to change it to AJ Preller's floppy hat, who is going to be full of pennies by season's end.
All the pennies.
I went with the same one. I went with Manny Machado. He looks great. He just looks great. I know he's had a slow spring, but he's always a slow spring. I mean, if we're talking about best shape of your life, and we often are in the month of March in regards to baseball, the dude looks ready. He looks absolutely ripped. He seems completely comfortable to play, even though he's just hitting 250 or whatever. I'm just not worried about him at all. I think he is going to pick up where he left off last year and take full advantage of an absolutely stacked 1-9, well, oh God, 1-8 before the pitcher batting order. There's no way you can really pitch around him at all anymore. The bench is deep enough to where even if people are injured, the people that are subbing into the daily lineup are going to be so good that you just have to pitch to him, and I think he's going to take advantage. So my most valuable Padre prediction goes to Manny Machado. Again, two years running.
It's there are many good choices, and that is definitely not a bad one at all. And he got that like eye surgery in the off season, right? So he's going to be seeing better than ever.
He did. Apparently, it was specifically for lights during the nighttime. So we will see if that makes any kind of difference. To be fair, his numbers, like his day versus night splits, were not significant. So it might just be something where it's a very, very, very good player looking to become 0.01% better. But I respect that. I like that. So good on him.
It's how the great ones stay great. They're always trying to get better.
You know? Not to mention the psychological advantage. Even if it is just a minor improvement, just that mental, like, oh, yeah, got this done, feeling better, I'm going to see the ball better. Like,
that's a good point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Joel, who is your Father of the Year prediction? Oh, yeah, sorry. Yours, your 2020 choice was as well Mr. Manny Machado, but your second choice was Fernando Tatis Jr., El Bebo, El Nino.
That's right.
And who is it for 2021?
So last year I said this was going to be Manny's team for one more year. I was wrong, and so I did say Bebo second. So I'm gonna choose Bebo this year, Fernando Tatis Jr. He led the league in home runs for a significant portion of the shortened season. I was disappointed he wasn't able to make it happen, but he was still right up there. I believe he finished top three, if not top five. Could be talking out of my ass there, but regardless, he's got the, you know, there's no sophomore slump to be had. I mean, he had that sort of mini slump in the middle of the year where that kind of put him behind in that home run chase, but not nearly what you would expect out of a sophomore slump, right? So I just really don't see any sort of downside at the moment, other than, you know, the obvious elephant in the room that, you know, he has been injured in the past. But I don't think that's going to be a problem for him. Maybe that's just blind optimism and hope, but I'm going to go ahead and call it. I think Tatis is going to take the reins and continue to build on his first two electric seasons and just run away with it. Show us why we signed him for 14 years.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I feel, yeah, that, man. I'm still excited. I forget, and then you remind me, and I'm like, yay! It's so wonderful. Yeah, that is a really good point, because he is, you know, in addition to being a world-class ball player, is like a world-class showman, and is a world-class... I don't know what the word is. I mean, I guess in a way you would say leader, but I feel like that's very cliche. But he is very, you know, he's like, I'm going to walk the walk as talk the talk. So I think that extension actually does mean something, you know, I think for him going into this. So my 2020 choice, as I do like to get kind of squirrely with these because it's just more fun that way. Mine was Tommy Pham. which didn't work out, even though he's a very quality baseball player.
He's very good.
He's a grit and grinder. And he works hard. He plays harder.
He plays the game the right way. Hard-nosed baseball player.
Yeah, that's right.
Known for a great slash line.
Yeah, great slash line. He's going to pace himself this season. So my choice is a newcomer to the team, one of many amazing newcomers. Thank you, AJ Preller, and aforementioned Floppy Hat. But my choice for 2021 Father of the Year is Yu Darvish, who came over, of course, from the Chicago Cubs, who had an amazing season last season, 93 strikeouts in 76 innings, was 8-3 over 12 starts, 2.01 ERA, 0.9 WHIP. Just in a fantastic season from him. And I think that, I mean, that season, I believe, is for real, just based on the changes that he made to, like, his pitches. He's relying, like, a bunch more on that cutter. He's basically, you know, just sawing guys left and right, which I love to see. But he has shown that he can throw a lot of innings. He's done it before. He... will I think take advantage of the new ball and the, you know, the increased seams, and I think him and Snell will both, you know, I probably all the pitchers, but I think those two in particular, because they're just very very good at pitching, so I feel like they're just gonna get better. But I think that Yu Darvish will end up finishing top three in the NL Cy Young. I think he will have the best pitching season since Jake Peavy in 2007, who won the Cy Young. So I think Yu Darvish is going to do very, very well for the team this season. That's not my bold prediction, but that's just a separate, you know, I think he's going to do well. So.
Oh, that is so exciting.
Darvish.
Just imagine.
I just got to say thank you to the cheating Houston Astros for, you know, kind of wrecking him mentally for that one season where he didn't know that they knew the pitches that he was throwing ahead of time. I think it lowered his price to where we were able to get him.
Yeah. And it probably made him, he's like, all right, I'm going to become even better. Even though he was already good, they were just cheating. He's like, okay, but that's fine. I'll become better.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next one, this is the Coors Light Award, and this is for the best pitcher. this is basically our Cy Young.
Like a pitcher of beer, that's the joke.
Like a pitcher of beer, which I could go for right now. I might grab a nice locally brewed can of lager at some point during this episode.
If we wanted to really stretch, we could go Nickelback, look at this photograph, pitcher.
Oh, a pitcher.
Oh my God.
Look at this photograph.
No, I like the Coors Light pitcher of the year. I'll let Tony go.
That is more Tony, than a stretch, Joel. That is extreme gymnastics.
Yes. Call me Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, that is...
I was going to say Carrie Strug, but...
Oh, man. Oh, I'm going first. Sorry, I'm still...
That's okay. That's
I'm
okay.
Stunned reeling, by the Nickelback. I am shell-shocked. Last year, I went with Lamette, which was a pretty good choice. And this year, I'm going to go with not Lamette. Perhaps we will talk about that later. I am going to go with Blake Snell for this choice. I think he's just ready. And I think kind of what Joel was talking about with Darvish, just kind of taking an adversity and deciding I'm going to get way better with it, or way better because of it. I think he definitely has a chip on the shoulder from the World Series last year. I think he's going to pitch, not necessarily angry, but with something to prove, and especially against the team that he lost against. So I think
the fact that we play them so many times throughout the year is going to be a advantage. Whenever he's on the mound, doesn't hurt that he is a lefty, and he should be able to mow down a lot of those Dodger batters. I am really excited to see that first true test of him against that lineup. He's familiar with a lot of them. Basically all of them are back from last year outside of Jock leaving. I think they're all there. So very curious to see how he does against them in particular, but I think he's also just going to be fantastic this year, and I'm really excited to see it. So Blake Snell, he gets the pitcher of bad beer.
I like it. For some reason, it just made me really laugh when you were like, he's going to be like pitching angry. Like, I don't, just because he's always like, I think in the, like we were saying kind of in the pre-show, again, in the press conferences, he's pretty, you know, charming, smiley, he's pretty friendly. And I just kind of like the idea of him in the clubhouse before, just like, oh, I'm going to fuck these guys up, which some guys do. But just for some reason, the thought of him doing it just really makes
me. Yeah, he definitely does. He seems like he'd be hitting his vape pen before going out there.
Like, yeah, just, like him and chill, Will. Man.
You know, I'm just going to chill and get out there and like, man. I don't know, play the game or whatever, it's all cool.
I got this new slider grip, I'm just gonna fuck around with it, we'll see what happens.
Oh man, looks like I am next on the list. Yes. So my choice for Cy Young is also gonna be Blake Snell, but Tony just did an excellent breakdown on Snell, so instead of rehashing why we love Blake Snell so much, which we do, I'm gonna go with an honorable mention here and throw out Joe Musgrove. Reports coming out of spring training are that he's looking super sharp. We're hearing reports out of BP that people are feeling like they're facing Garrett Cole, which is an amazing comp. Yeah, so I like the idea of like a late career breakout for Musgrove. He seems like he's a, what's the word, like a true professional, to use the sports cliche, like a student of the game type player. So I don't know. I like the idea of him putting it all together this season. And kind of, I mean, he's a good pitcher in a vacuum anyway, but I think he might surprise some people. So I'm going to give an honorable mention to Joe Musgrove.
I like that. That's a solid pick. You know, it's something about these East County baseball players. Joe Musgrove, Greg Garcia, just utter professionals. It's something about East County, you know? Just saying.
Nick Vincent.
Just saying. Nick Vincent. Oh, my God. Oh, man. I meant to text you guys. This is really great, and I'm sure people will care on the show. But I've been... I did a creative player for the show. I've been playing with him for a while. His name's Giuseppe Marinara. He is from Italy.
Now, hold on. Is there a voiceover recorded for Matt Vasgersian that says Marinara?
No, so he says Giuseppe Marino, which is the closest I could get, or Giuseppe Marini, but Marini just sounded too weird when I was, so
weird
he's
is the
Giuseppe
goal.
Marino.
Want to make Matt Vasgersian sound like an idiot when he's calling my player up to the plate.
Giuseppe Marinara.
So my first baseman in the show is Cookie Soup.
Oh, yeah. Cookie Soup, I forgot.
I love it every time he comes up to the plate. It's my favorite.
Oh my goodness. But so Giuseppe was drafted by the Marlins because I didn't put a preference. And within the second season, when I get called up, Nick Vincent is the closer. He leads the NL in saves that year. And Trent Grisham is our center fielder, which I'm like, this is perfect. This is wonderful. Somehow they traded with the Padres. But they have now since traded me to the Angels, so that's fine. Fuck them. They also traded Trent Grisham. That's fine. You want to make these bad decisions and have 12 first basemen, which I don't know how that always happens on whatever team I'm in the show, but they're like, we got these great prospects, and we're also going to trade other people to get other great prospects at the same position. So that's a really good idea. I don't know why. Like, I don't know what's up with the AI, or there's just no, they don't, it doesn't make any sense. But anyways, I was just hyped about Nick Vincent leading the NL in saves for my fake baseballs. Good job, Nick.
It's also Johnny's bold prediction. Not even Padres related. It just happens to be his bold prediction.
Nick Vincent leads the NL. If we had been doing this show like 5 or 6 years ago, I definitely would have made that a bold prediction at some point.
Oh, for sure. We were all hyped.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, no, I love that. I love that Musgrove pick. He is another guy who... He started using breaking pitch. So it looks like he started using a slider and curveball a lot more, relying on the four-seamer less. So I like pitch mix in addition to his very professional attitude. It's very. I'm going to move us along because I'm making it. The next award is the I Gotta Go to the Bathroom, which is the reliever of the year. Get it? I'm going to say get it every time. Get it? Did you get it? That was a joke. Tony, why don't you lead us off for this one? Oh, and let's... I'm sorry. I forgot to say on the last. Oh, also, I forgot to give out mine. We just did Tony. We didn't do mine. I forgot about myself. I didn't even give my own Cy Young pick.
Why are you selling yourself short?
I promise I'm listening. And by listening, I mean I'm going to get up and go get the charger for the iPad so I can continue to see you guys.
Do it. Do it. It's just being a piece of poop.
And get another set of headphones while you talk about your...
Good. So...
Johnny, who is your pitcher of beer?
Yes, my pitcher of beer is also my MVP. It's Yu Darvish. I feel as though if I pick him for MVP, I kind of have to pick him for the Cy Young. So, you know, for the same reasons that he's my MVP, my 2020 choice was also Lamet, same as you, which good job us. But I did notice that Joel, you didn't go over your 2020 choice, which is Garrett Richards. Do you have anything to say about that? He's just hanging in his head in shame. Oh,
deafening silence.
Oh God, he left.
He's actually typing his letter of resignation for the podcast. It's interesting that he's putting it in the show notes, though. But bold move. Bold move for us to actively read it as he types it.
Shit, and I'm not coming back. All right, this is a two-man pod now.
Oh my God, he's typing so much about Brian O'Grady. He's on his fifth sentence proclaiming him the best bench piece for the San Diego Padres. Oh my God, a 30-30 season for Brian O'Grady is Joel's bold prediction. He is skipping ahead to the end of the pod. He is putting it right here in the Coors Light Award, which doesn't make any sense, but oh no, he has done it. He's proclaiming him a two-way player with a sub-3 ERA and a 30-30 season. Joel, I really hate that we're gonna have to hold your feet to the fire on this one, but it's in the doc. I read it. It's
there.
It's part of history now.
I see it. Yep. This is...
Wow.
Oh, well.
Bold moves from Joel.
Wow. Big brain. Big brain.
Big brain O'Grady.
Big brain O'Grady. Oh, man. Who, seriously, I think now might make them pretty sure Brian O'Grady is going to make it.
What did I make? Brian O'Grady, yes. Excellent, excellent player.
Yes.
He's going to do great things. I know I shit on all over him last episode, saying he's just a guy, but I've seen light.
You
on
called
Brian
him
O'Grady.
Just a guy.
He does have a just a guy name. I believe he would agree if we were to talk to him right now, and that's coming from Joel Miller. Like, I've got the most just a guy name of all just a guy names, so he can fucking handle it.
It's one of those like you know, Padres, like the Padres of 10 years ago would have traded like what, you know, whoever our Chris DeNorfia style player would have been like, they traded him for Brian O'Grady and Joe Wilson, who are prospects from the Pirates.
Yes. Yes.
Like, we will never see them. They're defensive minded but have trouble offensively.
Oh, too real. Too real.
No, Joe, we were just reliving that. We were remembering that your 2020 Cy Young choice was Garrett Richards. And
oh, God. Yeah, deservedly so.
Oh, man.
The pain. Why did I say that? Why did I say Garrett Richards? Jesus Christ. Okay.
He had a lot of promise going into last season.
My guess is you did it for the content. I'm going to be generous and say that
I think you saw Lamet's name there.
Probably.
Yeah.
God, Garrett Richards. I don't know. That's for sure. Like, hindsight is 2020. Like, he had a little bit of upside left. He had a little juice left in the tank at the beginning of the season. Who could have known we were going to essentially kick him to the curb right away?
You didn't say Joey Lucchese, which I think would have been much worse. Lucchese. That would have been far worse.
I like Joey Lucchese.
Would it have been better or worse to say Paddock?
I think better.
Better.
He's coming off of a good rookie season. We didn't know anything about his. Yeah. Really ugly.
Or I guess knowing the results that we know now, not that he had an atrocious.
I still think better, honestly.
Yeah,
I still think better.
Richards might have been the worst possible choice I could have made.
Yeah. So we'll move on to the reliever of the year, the I Gotta Go to the Bathroom award. And Tony, your 2020 choice had a lot of promise as well, and it was Mr. Matt Strom. Who is your 2021 choice?
My 2021 choice is probably who should have gotten last year if we gave end of season awards, and that's Drew Pomeranz. Super reliable, good mix. Not too old, not a really long injury history or a very big injury risk. I just feel good about him. I feel confident when he goes out there. I'm not kind of nervous like with other bullpen members who shall remain nameless because perhaps they're nominated by other people for the same award. But I just feel confident with him going out there. I don't know if he's going to be the closer because none of us really know how that's going to work. It really does seem like it might be a by committee type thing for the beginning of the season, but I feel really good about him. I think he's going to get a ton of innings either way, whether he's closing or he's the eighth inning guy, and I think he's going to step up and be good for us again. Be great for us again, actually.
Fuck you, Josh Hader. We don't need you. Sorry. I need to stop saying things when you're drinking. I'm not being very considerate. Yeah, he was killer last year. I was a little worried when he had that something with the forearm this past week.
Yeah,
and something, but he was already. I think he was already pitching. What yesterday?
He was doing.
He pitched yesterday in a game.
Oh, I don't know if he pitched. If he pitched, I missed it. I know he was playing long toss this week, and that everybody was like, "Yeah, he's fine." It's like, okay, we still don't like the phrase "forearm tightness." Like that's a very traumatizing phrase for Padres fans. I would say we would prefer not to hear that.
Don't love that, but. You know, I didn't actually see. I just saw people on Twitter. They were like, "Palm is back." Like, all right, he must be good. He is very important. So I good healthy season. I feel like as long as he's healthy. So mine, my 2020 choice, fantastic choice, maybe one of the best ever choices. I mean, we don't know. We've got a lot of analysts. I've got Tim Kirkjian. I've got Keith Law.
Oh no.
I've got who else? I can't think of any other names. Anyways.
Which is good. Eric that's Longer part of the, that's part of the First Nation. You can't remember the name.
Who else? Who else?
Tim Apple. Chris Berman. All right. We got a lot of very smart baseball people.
Many people.
Many. A lot of them. And they said Pierce Johnson's a good reliever. But yeah, my 2020 choice was Pierce Johnson. Should have had more rope, but it is what it is. He's going to have more of an opportunity this season. But this season as well, I think that another newcomer, Keonakella will have a killer season for us in the bullpen. He's one of our setup guys, and he typically relies on a very about a 96 mile an hour fastball and a curveball with quite a bit of drop there, and gets a lot of strikeouts. Has a career 1.12 whip, so he is not walking a lot of guys, and I love that in a reliever because that is the easiest way to get into trouble. 266 strikeouts over 216 career innings. Had some saves with the Pirates, and I believe had some with the Rangers as well. So he's even capable as a closer option. So very excited for Keonakella and a couple other guys that I'll talk about in our bullpen this season. Keela. Oh, Keonakella.
That's what I always thought it was. Yeah, that's what
it might be. Keonakella.
I think it's.
I mean, who knows?
I thought it was Kella. Keela.
It's probably right. You guys are probably right. I don't know. It's probably just the way I read it. Keon. It just looks like Keonakella to me. I don't know.
Yeah, like
I wasn't trying to correct you. I put that in the show notes.
But. Almost like Fila, like the clothing brand Fila. Keela. Like they're pretty similar, and I know it's an I and an E, but still. I guess that's the. But yeah. So
the world
we'll
may
see.
Never know.
It's a mystery. It's an absolute mystery. We who knows how these guys' names are pronounced? There's no. I wish there's like a guidebook, but I think you have to be like an employee or someone in media or something.
I am of the opinion that no one should ever get mad about their name being mispronounced because there's no rules about name spellings. Yeah. There's no fucking rules. Yeah. Like English is already a little iffy in terms of phonetic pronunciations of spellings and things like that. But there's still rules, right? There's still things that, you know, this means this. This sounds like that.
Yeah.
Names, like, it's a fucking crapshoot. You can...
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
It's all the languages put together and all of their rules, like, interacting with each other.
Like, correct somebody, sure. But to be offended by your name being mispronounced, it doesn't make any sense to me because
it's Sharon, not Sharon. Like, okay, sorry.
Taking a stance.
Lady whose name is spelled like Sharon.
It came out more passionate than I thought it would, but there it is.
As someone who works and has worked customer service jobs where you talk to like 50 different a day, oh my, it's like usually people are cool, but yeah, every once in a while they're like, I'm like, hello, is this Juan? They're like, it's Juan. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was a pause in between my bad. Joel, your choice for the year 2020 was Emilio Pagan. Got a little injured, but looked quite good at the end. How about for 2020?
So for, yes, 2020, I chose Emilio Pagan, and I'm going to...
Emilio Pagan.
Emilio Pagan.
Oh my gosh, now he sounds like some sort of
like an Amish person. Guy, yeah.
Emilio, come in from fields!
So no, I chose Emilio Pagan for 2020 Reliever of the Year, and kind of for the sake of the content, I am doubling down and saying Emilio Pagan will find his form again from 2019. I mean, he had 2.31 ERA, he had 12 and change strikeouts per nine. I don't think that just disappears. I don't think that was a fluke over 70 innings. It very well could be, but I don't think it is. I'm going to call it. I think he's going to rise to the top, Randy Savage style, and be the reliever of the year for 2021.
I like it. I think it's a good pick. It was one that I contemplated as well. I can confirm, by the way, that both Pomeranz and Pagan pitched scoreless innings yesterday with multiple strikeouts apiece.
The time to have you noticed they're winning lots of spring training games now that it's, I feel like the earlier, like we had a bad record early, but I feel like it was all like no names loot, and no offense to these guys, but it was like seventh, eighth inning, like random non-roster invitee would like lose a game. But now that it's the you know, starters are in a lot longer more often than not is telling. I think this might be a good team, you guys.
Perhaps.
Save it for the record
maybe,
prediction.
Maybe. We might be. this next one, last year was, I don't remember, but it was, yeah, anyways, we changed this one. I like this one. This is a name that Tony put in, so I want to give proper credit there. This is called Glass Bones Paper Skin, which is the most time on the injured list. And Tony, your 2020 choice was the very professional East County native Gregory Garcia, fighting it out for a roster spot on the Detroit Tigers. We wish him the best.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. This year, who is your choice for?
Or I guess my choice is Matt Strom, and it is a revenge pick because I picked him for reliever of the year last year, and he rewarded me with a bum knee. So I am rewarding him in revenge with this glass bones paper skin prediction. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
That's fair. I mean, it's a smart way to go about it. Especially as Padres fans who have been hurt many a time, it's often better to expect the worst.
Are you suggesting Padres fans? That the strong bone will become rusty?
Oh. Oh, no.
I gave it just enough time. He knew it was coming just a split second before I hit the punchline.
Oh no.
Worth it. I would do it again. I go back in time and do that again. That was worth my time.
What's the opposite of glass bones and paper skin? Because that's what Padres fans have. Mm. Like titanium everything.
Balls and hearts of gold.
That's great.
That's the next award. Who's going to spend the least amount of time on the ice?
True. Falls in a heart of gold.
Oh man,
that's wonderful.
Where's the show notes? Where'd they go? I like that choice and I like that reasoning. My 2020 choice, Tommy Pham, who unfortunately did spend a lot of time on. And my choice this season is a guy who spent a lot of time last year on the injured list as well, and that is Austin Adams, who was recovering from AL like that last year.
Yeah.
Has a very electric slider that we've been waiting to see. But I believe is still recovering from that injury. Here I'm not actually for sure on that, but I could have sworn I read that. I should have researched this beforehand. It would have been smart. But just general injury history, I'm not terribly confident that we'll be able to see a lot of that killer slider this season. So kind of a not sure, but hopefully he's healthy. I'll move on to Joel. Your 2020 choice was the white queso himself, Will Myers, who thankfully had an amazing season. Who is your choice for this year?
Yep, so I kind of inadvertently tested my reverse jinx capabilities, and they're confirmed, because Will Myers had sort of a bounce back year. So this pick is, I guess, sort of a reverse jinx attempt, number two. So for 2021, Glass Bones, Paper Skin, I am awarding Denelson Lamet. So the argument for this award is obviously self-evident, right? He's got a bum elbow. I believe there are reports that he had platelet-rich plasma injections, which I have just a really negative association with. It just strikes me as like a Hail Mary last ditch. Like, all right, we're going to give this a shot. It might work, but it's likely going to be Tommy John. So not super excited. But again, I'm going to go for the reverse jinx here and say Denelson Lamet's going to get this award, and hopefully he doesn't have any sort of injury concerns all season and has a great 2021. What did he throw? 12 pitches. They gave him an inning of work here late in the spring. I think he was hitting high 90s. He was throwing a lot of fastballs. I don't think he was throwing the slider much, which I think is probably a good idea at this point in time. So who knows when we'll actually see him? I don't think we'll see him at the beginning of the season. They're probably going to be extra careful. But again, another sort of low hanging fruit pick. But hopefully, it's been reverse jinxed by me picking him. So. Denelson Lamet, Glass Bones, Paper Skin.
Well, the lowest hanging fruit would be Mike Clevenger. So none of us went for the lowest.
Oh, shit.
Captain Obvious pick.
Yeah. God damn it. I genuinely keep forgetting, and then I'm like, oh, steer.
Steer.
So I was looking here, and I was mistaken. Austin Adams was activated last season from the ACL, but... I was reading, it was in Dennis Lynn's roster projection that there was, he had some other injury, and I've been trying to look on any kind of tweet or something about it for the last 5 minutes and have not found a damn thing. So I'm not even sure what's wrong with it.
He does have something, though. You are correct.
There's something going on. So like, so moving on to the biggest poppy. This is the most at bats at DH, which thanks Rob Manfred, you dumbass. There isn't going to be one this year. Thanks a lot. But there will be interleague play. So we will have some DHing. So, this award will still, it matters. Damn it. And so Joel, your 2020 choice was Ty Sacrebleu, France, who is now in Seattle. For 2021, who is your biggest poppy?
Hi.
Oh, man. I got to recover from that. But yeah,
Take a minute.
Oh, God. I'm pretty upset. I'm probably extra pissed off about Rob Manfred not extending the DH in the NL. I feel like it's just a giant rug pull. You've got half of Major League Baseball preparing for this. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could put it on the teams to say, you know, they can't really count on this continuing year after year, and this is really just kind of a special case, and it's on them if they decided they wanted to try to come up with some long-term solution for a DH. But it just doesn't seem super fair to me in a, you know, a league that's already at a disadvantage with the DH, right?
Agreed.
So, anyway, with that said, I'm going to go with Tommy Pham here. I don't know. He just seems like the most logical choice at DH at the moment for me. You know, he's had some injury concerns, some on-field, some off-field, obviously. It makes the most sense to kind of keep him off the field. And obviously, we don't have any power-hitting catchers that are going to do that. We don't have a ton of depth at first base anymore. I don't know. I mean, it just feels weird to even put a prediction out there when there's going to be a handful of at-bats at DH regardless. But I'm going to go with Tommy Pham for this one.
Nice. Yeah, that's a smart one because I had to step away, so I guess I'll probably step on whatever you already talked about. But I think just the fact that, yeah, the injury in the off season, just keep him off the field, but while still getting at bats as much as possible, was probably the point you made.
Yes.
It was weird. He actually went on a very strange Brian O'Grady tangent.
Yeah, I opened up with why I wanted it to be Brian O'Grady.
We're going to have, because it's Profar in center, O'Grady in left, Will in right.
Make room in Cooperstown for Brian O'Grady, guys.
Dude, yeah, guys. The O'Grady Hall. They're just going to call it the O'Grady Hall of Fame. It's his Hall of Fame now. They're going to call it O'Grady's Town. It's not Cooper's Town. It's located in New O'Grady in the United States of O'Grady. Oh my goodness. All right. Woo. Ah. Oh my goodness. All right. So, moving on. For Tony, also had Mr. Sakura Blue Ty France as his biggest poppy. For 2021, Tony, who is your biggest poppy?
Well, I mean, the way you say the award makes it sound like it's a good thing, but actually, my reasoning is I hope this happens. And I have Eric Hosmer here. And the reason I hope it happens is because I want Jake Cronenworth at first, because he's better than Hosmer in just about every way, I think. And it gives us a little more versatility in the infield to play someone like Kim, or maybe in the back half of the year, take a look at Abrams at second. I know we are stuck with Hosmer. We're stuck with him. We just have to deal. But I would like to deal with it as little as possible when given the opportunity. And him DHing is completely fine. It is insane that he has multiple Gold Glove awards. Those days are far behind. His defense is bad. I don't want to see it. I would much rather see Cronenworth there. So this is me willing it into it to just take away a few days. Just a few days. It's only, I mean, I don't even know how many interleague games we have. So what, 30 games maybe or something? 40? Something like that. I would love to see Haas at the DH and someone more exciting at first base.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And the Cronenworth's, I think that was what initially, you know, when he was took over for Hosmer a little bit last year, was when people were like, whoa. But yeah, I mean, just straight up Gold Glove level defense, which is nuts for a guy who I don't think had played it since like college, which is just, I mean, that's crazy. I would not be surprised to see someone like Jake Cronenworth be a manager someday, just for the mere fact of like, clearly he's not just talented, but like he is also intelligent enough about the game defensively, be able to play all those positions so well. Like, it's not just talent that enables him. Yeah, and he was late bloomer, so that's always good, you know, for those post or post hype guys. But speaking of Eric Hosmer's contract, his full no trade clause.
I don't want to. Can we skip?
Yes, we can. We're gonna skip too.
No, I don't mean to squash choice. It. I don't mean to squash it.
No, well, I will say his full no trade clause expired at the end of last season. So I'm not sure if it's a partial or if it just doesn't exist now. That's spot track. And it goes down to $13 million in 2023. It's like a long way away, but time flies when you're having, so that's important. My choice for biggest poppy in 2020 was Josh Naylor, who's going to kick ass this season for the Cleveland Indians. Should they just name them the Cleveland Padres because there's so many Padres on it? Like, that's a lot. There's Cal Quantrill, Josh Naylor. There's Austin Hedges. There's Phil Maton and someone else. Brad Hand. No, not Brad Hand anymore, but there was one other person. Simber's gone too. They DFA'd him, but there was one other. I can't remember. But anyways, Owen Miller might make the team. So good job, Owen Miller. My choice this year is also Tommy Pham for all the same reasons that Joel said. And because also just the amount of guys that they have that they need. I mean, they've got Kim, they've got Cronenworth, they've got Profar, they've got Pham, who can all ostensibly play left field. And that's a lot of people, a lot of mouths to feed. So... moving on to the Trojan horse, and this is for the most surprising player. And Tony, I'll have you go first. Your 2020 choice was Jake Cronenworth. Great choice. How about for 2021, who's got the Tony magic?
Ooh, I hope that happens, because this would be exciting for all of us. I'm gonna go with Adrian Morihone. And the reason I chose him is because I think he's been around long enough to where we're all kind of, I don't want to say sick of him, but it's kind of like the prospect magic, the shine of the new toy has kind of worn off. We're just kind of like, okay, well, like, are you going to be really good or are you not quite going to get there? And I think that's a little bit unfair. And I watched a little bit of his last start where he really stretched out. I think he went upwards of 70 pitches over 3+ innings. Had 6 strikeouts, and you really do kind of see, like, man, there is some real potential here. Real number 2, number 3 starter potential. that chuckle he throws, the change-up knuckle, is so weird and so fun to watch. But he's also just barely 21, 22 years old. And I think my own kind of impatience has caused me to view him as like, oh, well, he's like the number five. Who really cares? But I think that's a bit unfair. And I think he, if given the right amount of innings, which I think he will get this year because they're going to be very careful with everybody, there's just going to be a lot of work to go around. Nobody's going to be looking at 225 innings plus or whatever. I think it's going to be a real even split amongst a lot of arms. I think we'll have a good opportunity to really see what he looks like stretched out, and I think he's gonna surprise some people, myself included.
I like that choice. Yeah, he is 3 days younger than Mackenzie Lore, which is wild. But we signed him when he was like 17, so we've known about him for like he's 22, so 5 years. It's like, all right, we've heard about him. Yeah, but it's like wild. He's just barely 22. Yeah, him and Mackenzie Gore both turned 22 toward the end of February. There we go. Okay, so yeah, with Morihone in particular too, I was really happy to see that. And it was kind of in a relief role, but had a ton of, you know, had 25 strikeouts in 19 innings, only 4 walks. I'm beginning to really appreciate a low walk. It's very important. I am next. There we go. So my 2020 choice for Trojan Horse was Trent Grisham, who as well was a wonderful surprise. Very happy with Trent, center fielder of the field. My 2021 Trojan Horse is going to be Emilio Pagan. I also, as Joel, believe in Emilio Pagan. I think that injury really kind of threw him off last season, and the true Emilio Pagan was the guy we saw at the end of the season, and the guy that we've seen in spring training. So he is, based on what Dennis Lynn says, the current leader to be the closer at the beginning of the season. He's got the stuff. He's got a very high-powered fastball. Has had some command issues here and there, but I am very excited about him going into the season. And I think it's just bullpens and relievers are just one of those things where it's just weirdly enough, like the guy who was bad last year just ends up utterly kicking ass the next year for some reason. And so it's just kind of, you know, taking a flyer on him. He's just a good reliever, so excited about Pagan. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I've got him down for a different award later on. Joel, your 2020 Trojan Horse was Drew Pomeranz, and again, we all crushed it on this. I gotta say, we were all great. So who is your 2021 Trojan
Horse? I was great last year, throwing it all away this year. My most surprising player is the brain himself, Brian O'Grady.
Not a joke.
And I'm not, for the record, I'm not saying he's going to surprise us with how quickly he becomes relevant.
That was surprising. Came out of nowhere.
In this scenario, Brian O'Grady, I mean, even in the most surprising player category, his ceiling is that he supplants Jurickson and Profar as sort of the swingman in the outfield.
I would love that. Please.
But, I mean, we really get a tale of two Brian O'Grady's here. We have 2020 Brian O'Grady, who hit 400 with a 400 on base percentage and a 600 slugging percentage, 5 plate appearances. And we also, and then we have 2019 Brian O'Grady for Cincinnati, who had a 190 batting average, 292 OBP, 429 slugging percentage for a, I can't even say this. He had a 305 wOBA, negative 0.8. offensive war. So which Ryan O'Grady are we going to get in 2021?
It's a good question.
I'm putting my name down to say that we're getting the 400 batting average Ryan O'Grady. I can't.
Oh my goodness. A 178 OPS plus? Sign me up. Oh my goodness. That's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, it's like, who knows? Like, I mean, he's looked good this season. Apparently he did a little change to his swing that helped him kind of get around. He did actually, I mean, some promising things. At least I know it was 5 plate appearances, but this is probably not even statistically relevant whatsoever, but he did improve his average exit velocity from 88.6, which is like kind of low in 2019, to 92.8 on average in 2020. Again, 5 plate appearances, but 92.8 is like really damn good. Like that would be like one of the league leaders in average exit velocity if he were to sustain. So that's promising.
And he absolutely will.
He will.
There is no doubt in our minds.
There will be no drop off in production.
You guys wait and see. I'm going to look like a goddamn genius.
That's right.
And Brian O'Grady has 7 home runs.
I mean, he also plays first base, so. That would be weird to have another lefty. Just let's be like, no, we just want a different lefty for a space.
Just not
it's
you.
Like that meme, like I want a lefty for a space.
Just not you.
No, not like that. Yeah, my goodness. So the
they
next...
do really quick, Johnny. They do have an interesting pickle where Brian O'Grady and Mateo, I believe, are both out of options. And really, I think you can only afford one of them. And I don't know which one you go with. You're basically taking flyers on either. Do you want speed or do you want potential power? Those are your choices. And I don't know which one I really think is better, but Brian O'Grady has turned into like a meme at this point on this podcast, so I think we are all going with Brian O'Grady.
We have to. I mean, come on. Do you want to say no to a Fangraphs future value 35-plus prospect?
Absolutely not. I'm not an idiot. Absolutely not.
Yeah, come on. Interesting. So his full name actually
35 plus. Like that's like saying you got an F plus. Why is there a plus there?
I can't even do it.
This is a 20 like... plus prospect here. Like come on.
Guys, did you know his full name is Brian O'Grady? I was going to try and say it as a surprise, but it didn't work. I just be like, guys, can you imagine?
He couldn't keep it together long enough.
Get ready for his full name.
Fun fact about
it's Brian
O'Grady.
Brian O'Grady.
We're seeing the side effects of that second COVID shot come through.
That's true. Yeah, the COVID loopiness came in. Hopefully it mixes well with Santan Brewing Company's Arizona-style lager. Mm. So our next award is the don't, and that is for the most homers. Get it?
Drum.
So Joel, your 2020 choice was Manny Machado. I should have looked up who led this again and forgot. I think it was Manny was second, I think. And Joel, who is it for 2021?
No, don't do it, Tony. I think we're going to be oscillating between these two names for many years to come. So I chose Manny Machado last season. I'm going to go ahead and switch teams and go over to Fernando Tatis Jr., my pick for MVP for 2021, just to kind of stay consistent, really. But again, I think it's going to be 1A, 1B between Tatis and Manny Machado for several years, which is just a really great thing. I still have to pinch myself. It just doesn't feel real sometimes. But yeah, that's my pick for most homers this year. It's going to be Tatis.
I like it. It's a strong pick. Tony, your choice last year was Tatis. Who is it?
It was very tempting to go with the bit pick of Brian O'Grady, but I truly think he's not going to be on this team in 2 weeks. So I have to stand by what I believe in, which is my MVP pick, Manny Machado, who's got arms that look like tree trunks right now. I think Tatis is a great pick. I just think Manny's going to have more at-bats for more chances, and that's as simple as it is, really. I think he's just going to have a bit more of an opportunity.
Love it. I love it. Just have both of them battle it out to see who gets to 40 home runs first.
I was going to say, when we were talking about them earlier, it is giving me really similar kind of Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon vibes on the Nationals when Bryce was like the thing in baseball after his, what was that, one season?
It was like 45 home runs or something.
15
or 2015,
something.
Yeah.
2015, where he had like whatever the WAR number was. It was like
nuts.
Just true video game numbers. Where they're both great. Anthony Rendon is great, but yeah. Bryce is kind of the hyped kid, mega prospect type thing. I kind of feel like Tatis and Manny can be that, which is awesome, obviously. But you really can't complain about having either one of them. So to have both is really special.
All right, do you want those Bryce Harper 2015 stats?
Yeah, I do.
It's pretty fun. Triple slash of 330, 460 on base, 649 slugging. That's an 1109 OPS. That's a 198 OPS plus. 42 home runs, only six steals, but that's fine. Had 124 walks and 131 strikeouts. That's wow. Yeah.
His walk rate and his strikeout rate were almost identical.
Yeah, dude, that's wild. But 42 home runs, 99 RBI. How do you only have 99 RBI on with 38 doubles? That's like no one was hit. Was he hitting leadoff? Let me see. 118 runs. Okay, yeah, he must have been like hitting leadoff or something like that. I'm not sure, but
not
that is
clutch.
Yeah, that's a hell of a season. Woo. Wow. Dang. Yeah, I've got him in one fantasy in an on-base league. I'm very excited. 420 on-base last season. Nice. Love it.
Really? That was last season? That's what he had?
420 on base, yeah.
Wow, that's actually... That's
white, right?
Really, really good. I didn't know.
Hit like 268, but had like a 460 on base, which is... Or 420 on base. That's not...
That evens out a bit.
So my... Most homers... I scared Tony for a second.
Yes.
For 2020 was Manny, as well as Joel, and my 2021 is Tatis, also just like Joel. I just copied and pasted his answers into mine. But yeah, I mean, led the league, I believe, in average exit velocity for last season. Is a max exit velocity king. Just crushes the ball
just
every
reminded
damn
me
day.
Of those laser beam line drive home runs he'll hit. Ooh. Every now and then. Again, those are my favorite. Yeah,
those are beautiful.
The ones where the height is like 40 feet the whole
way. Side note, but speaking of MLB The Show, they've added in, and I don't know, they probably did this a while back. I just haven't, it's been a little while since I played, but they have all the StatCast stats now.
Nice.
When like you look at your player, so you can look at your walk rate and your K rate stuff. Not like heat maps or anything like that yet, but a lot of the stuff you'll see. But I love that now it shows you like your exit velocity and your launch angle and all that kind of stuff when you hit a home run. I think that's just a nice little touch. Thank you, San Diego's. EA would never.
They wouldn't.
They wouldn't. They would just be like, there's no, you know, you only use the button, and we're just gonna do RBI baseball with updated graphics. That's it. All right. So the next one. Pretty important one. Damn, Joel, I literally just didn't even think of that as my choice, and I don't know why. The next award here is I Can Wipe My Own Ass, which, if you hopefully remember, is from the movie Daddy. And that is for the prospect with the biggest impact on the Major League team in 2021. My 2020 choice, I miss him so, is Mr. Luis Patino, who did have quite a good impact on the team. But is now in Tampa Bay, and he's going to rock it out there. I'm excited for him. He should be in the rotation this season. So, but my choice is a good friend of his, Mr. Mackenzie Gore, who is fighting it out for the number five rotation spot, although I do think that'll go to Morahone. If anyone goes down with an injury, basically, at that point, he will be, you know, he'll be called up. So, and if he looks good enough, you know, I think they're more likely to keep him in there and move Morahone into the swingman role than to do, I don't know, something else. So I am hopeful, and I think that he will come up and stick on the team and rack up those. Yeah. Joel, yours for 2020 was Taylor Trammell, who didn't even get to play with us, which I'm kind of bummed about, but is fighting his way onto the opening day roster Seattle as well. So best of luck, Tay Tram. And what is your 2020 prospect who can wipe his own?
Yep, so my pick didn't work out so great last year. I feel like this one's got a higher probability of being a successful pick. I'm going to go with Ryan Weathers. Obviously limited visibility last year, but on one of the biggest of stages, right? He pitched one inning in the postseason for 2020. And I would say for having his first appearance be, a postseason appearance, he did pretty well. He had a pretty strong showing. I mean, he didn't have overpowering stuff, but you don't expect that out of a guy who's being thrown into that sort of a moment or a situation, I guess. But he held his own. He got out of the inning without a run. And I think he's going to turn the corner and make a large impact out of the bullpen.
I love it. For some reason, I was looking through, I was thinking of prospects in my head. I should have just looked at a list, but for some reason, I just completely skipped Weathers in my mind, but incredibly impressed with what he did last season in the playoffs. Very excited. Tony, yours for last season, I would say the best of all, was Trent Grisham, who was considered a prospect last season, still had that prospect pedigree, and crushed it. This season, who is going to be the amazing prospect?
I'm going with a similar choice in that Grisham was still a prospect, but we all knew he was going to start on the opening day roster, or I guess rather with this year. Anyway, the transition will come. We all knew Grisham was going to start and that he was basically on the major league team. He was ready, but he was still a prospect. And my choice this year is very similar. It's going to be Luis Campusano, who we all know is the backup catcher, but I think we all would be perfectly happy with a 50-50 split or a 60-40 split between him and Austin Nola. I know it's kind of complicated with Victor Caratini, but these are good problems to have. It's nice to be able to argue about good players. But he has looked really good this spring. Really, really good. He's hitting over 300. He's got a great slash line. He's looking good at the plate. The power is playing. He's he hasn't hit a home run yet, I don't think. But he has at least one scorched double that I've seen. He's got some RBIs on spring training. He just looks good. He looks locked in. Another person where they are deceivingly young. I think he's only 22 as well. The ceiling seems very, very high for him, and I'm really excited to see how he develops as a catcher. I think the offensive prowess is pretty obvious. I think he's probably our highest potential for our catchers with offensive capabilities, but I think Nola right now is probably the better all-around catcher, probably Caratini as well, actually, and his switch hitting ability is pretty nice. But I'm really curious to see where and how he develops this year, and I think he's going to have the opportunity to do so. So I think he is the prospect that will have the biggest impact. I like both of your guys' choices. My only question is, where do they fit in? We just have so many arms. And really, I mean, Campusano can be the same argument. Where does he fit in when you already have two catchers, if they're healthy? It's going to be something where, really, I think injuries dictate a lot of it, and we just don't know what will happen. But it feels nice to be arguing about Mackenzie Gore and Ryan Weathers and Luis Campusano instead of, I don't know, 2 years ago, Jorge Mateo would be an MVP pick on this team. Oh, and man, now he's struggling.
Is he the second baseman of the future? I don't know.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Exactly.
You guys remember when Manny Margot was hyped?
Yes.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Remember when we were all, well,
remember when Javi Guerra was a shortstop?
Oh, remember God. When? Remember when I made this same prediction and argument for Francisco Mejia? Yes, that was not that long ago.
Oh man!
Yeah,
that. Do you
guys
think
really,
Victor Caratini drinks carrot martinis?
Ooh, I didn't even know that was a thing. I don't know much about.
Is a carrot martini even a thing? I just really wanted to reach for another pun.
Oh man! Well, let's see. It is a carrot ginger teeny, a carrot teeny, a carrot ginger cocktail. Oh, this is from McCormick, the spice people.
It doesn't sound good.
Let's
I agree,
look at
Tony.
This.
Tony's making
very
faces.
Very excited. Fresh carrot juice and ginger lend vibrant color and warm flavor to this innovative orange-flavored vodka martini recipe. Drink to your wellness with a touch of ginger for the perfect carrot.
Don't do that.
Wow.
Don't make that. Don't drink that. That does not sound good.
I don't want to use carrot juice. I want to use something else. But I like ginger because it is nice on my stomach, and I feel like that will be better because I just throw up every time I drink. It just happens. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't drink. Maybe that's an alcohol allergy. But
damn.
Johnny, you're drinking a beer right now.
I mean, not like every time I drink. Not like, you know, maybe I'm just bad at figuring out the right amount. But
common
there are
problem.
Times where I'm like, there's times where I'm like, I will drink, like, I'll drink, like, a decent amount, and then I'm, like, kind of all right, and then I'll drink less than that, and then I'll throw up. And what is I don't understand. It doesn't make it. I don't know. It really just, I just have a sensitive stomach.
You can just have a ginger teeny.
This is good talk, pot. wow, yeah. That's a good idea. Now I'm going to start putting ginger and, like, turmeric in my, turmeric would make it, that would make it yellow, not orange. Never mind. I was trying to think of make it look like a carrot teeny, but not. So I don't have to put carrot juice. But anyway, The next award is called, we might need to rename this one at some point too.
We might have
don't,
to.
Don't make me get my belt, which is the Padres fans whipping in 20. Oh wait, no, you know what? That's, we're going to call it the Unforgiven. Because
nice.
This is the Padres fans whipping boy, the whipping, boy, whipping boy done wrong.
Yep.
In 2021. Much better. And Joel, your 2020 choice, a great one because he's no longer on the team. Mr. Austin Hedges, who is your...
Gosh, that was an easy choice. I'm actually going to go ahead and yield the floor to Tony because I feel like he's got a little bit more hate for this this selection. But we made the same choice, and I don't want to steal Tony's thunder, so I'm going to let Tony go ahead and take it away.
The Unforgiven for 2021 between Joel and I. Although, God, I wish... the rant would be so much better if it was for Austin Hedges. So maybe he gets an honorable mention because he plays on the Cleveland Padres. But for the San Diego Padres...
He's already gone, and we're still ragging on Austin Hedges.
He still deserves a couple whippings, in my opinion. Our choice is Eric Hosmer, and we kind of already touched on it. The contract situation is so frustrating, and I know he gets cheaper, but he does not get cheap enough, in my opinion. It does not get so affordable that you willingly are happy with what you're getting from him. I think... he is going to regress to pre-2020 Eric Hosmer. I think with a deadened ball, we are going to see a lot more ground balls. I think I just don't think he's an imposing hitter. I really don't. And I know he kind of has like the quote-unquote clutchness to hit pretty well when runners are on base, but I just don't think that's as important on this team because a lot of people are going to be on base and a lot of people can hit. So it's kind of like, well, yeah, great job, Haas. Like pretty much everybody can do that on this team. So I'm not that impressed anymore. And I guarantee he's going to hit the most, hit into the most double plays. We talked about the defense. It's just not like not passable, in my opinion, for what he's being paid and what he's expected to do, especially when you look at the rest of the infield. I mean, star, Eric Hosmer in that order. I think there are going to be more than a handful of plays where he makes some boneheaded thing where like he doesn't jump high enough to get a high ball or he doesn't stretch and it's just like, dude, you got to dive. I'm sorry. Like we just expect you to get that. And I think once the ground balls start kicking in, we have this award designated as Padres fans whipping boy. Once those ground balls start coming again, the fans will notice. It will not take long for us to jump on the Eric Hosmer hating bandwagon because he doesn't hit for a ton of enough power. It's not like you're getting the trade-off there from a slugging first baseman, kind of just getting like a normal infield, but he grounds out a lot. And it's just really frustrating to watch when he's bad. I would love to be wrong about this one, but I really do think that he's going to regress a bit.
Fun Eric Hosmer fact.
Oh no, it won't be fun.
Eric Hosmer is at double-digit ground into double plays every season of his career except for 2020, where he had 3.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's going to stick for the future, Joel. I'm sure he turned it around 2020 for the rest of his life.
It's a season, of course, that had 60 games in it.
Yes.
So he, oh, man. If we work it out to, what, roughly a third, he still would have been under double digits. If we extrapolated that, it would have worked out to 9. But, yeah, Jed Jerko, who was... He was lovingly dubbed Jebel Play by the Padres Reddit. He grounded into double digit grounded double plays in only 5 seasons of his career. In only 5. Love from that. 2011 to 2019, Eric Hosmer grounded into double digit double plays. With the peak being 20 in 2017. He's worse than Jed Jerko in this comparison.
I mean, he said he worked on his launch angle last year, so if it sticks, that's nice. But I think if it sticks, he's like 270 with like 20 to 25 home runs, which I think should be like the 6 or 7 hitter on the team, not the 4 hitter.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that, you know, if he ends the if we end up going like half the year where he's hitting 6, I don't think people are as frustrated. But man, if they just keep trying to stick him in the 4 spot every single game and it's like anything less than what last year was, people will be up.
Yeah. And I think he's like the perfect example of, as a fan, you kind of watch and you're like, man, why don't they just bench him? And I think there is ego and contract and, you know, veteran leadership that managers try not to step on, where as a fan, it's so easy. It's like, the dude is not hitting. He is in a slump. Give him a day off. But
We are only relegated to what we can see on the TV. So I don't know. Maybe there's not more to that. But I think Joel highlighted it perfectly with that summation and comparison to Jed Jerko. You do not want to be compared to Jed Jerko, pretty much ever.
Let alone be worse than him.
Yeah.
Don't love it. Don't love it. So my Unforgiven for 2021 is a guy who's been having some spring training troubles, and I'm concerned they're going to continue, which is Ha Sung Kim, who was signed from the KBO in the offseason. And granted, and I mean, as writers have, AJ Cassavell and Dennis Lynn and others have written, a ton of adjusting and just many changes and many new things coming over into the Major League Baseball. And so, and I think partially because of that, he is going to struggle this season. And people will be frustrated because they, you know, gave him a multi-year contract and da-da-da-da-da and, you know, all this stuff. And if he ends up becoming mostly the bench player, that's fine with me because I love Cronenworth and you know, Profar was fine last season. So, you know, if he's in left or whatever, you know, and we have FAM, so we don't necessarily need Ha Sung Kim to press or be, you know, an integral part of the team this season, at least as of right now. So I don't know. That's my choice, but hopefully it isn't. We'll move on to the next one, which is Daddy left for a pack of smokes, and I don't think he'll come back player of the year.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite one.
Me too.
Such a great name. So good.
And Joel, your 2020 choice was Hosmer, who did have quite a good season last year. How about for this?
So for this season, I'm going to go with Craig Stammen. He had a bit of a rough, well, he had injury concerns, right? But mm-hmm. it just makes it an easy choice, right, for comeback player of the year. He's going to be able to come back from injury. I'm assuming he's going to be able to stay healthy and return to his effective 2019 self. I'm pulling up his baseball reference page right now. The age obviously being the concern, the downside on this choice. But, I mean, his ERA plus, I've got the wrong year here. Yeah, so his ERA plus was pretty solid. So we were looking at 135, 2017, 141 in 2018, 126 in 2019, and then 74 for 2020. So for me, this just makes it an easy choice for really comeback player of the year. Again, I don't think it's a fluke, or I guess I do think 2020 is a fluke. And again, the only thing that can really derail this is if he's just too old and the wheels are going to fall off and continue to decline. But I don't see that happening. So that's my choice for comeback player of the year.
Yeah, I'm a Stammen believer, so I'm with you. Tony, your 2020 choice was Will Myers. Again, great comeback player choice. How about for 2021?
You guys have both talked about him. It is now my turn to heap some predictive praise on Emilio Pagan. You guys have already talked about it pretty at length and pretty well, so I'll just say he looked really good at the end of last year. He's looked good so far in spring. I think he's going to be ready to go. So Emilio Pagan is my comeback player of the year. And I think Joel put it, or Johnny, maybe it was you earlier. Relievers can truly be terrible one year and excellent the next. It's just kind of the nature of it. It's almost a coin flip. He was not great last year. So following that logic, I think he's going to be very good this year.
It's perfectly good reliever logic because that's how it works. It's like kickers.
That is.
So my 2020 choice was Matt Strom, who did have some good innings but also struggled with injuries. So, my 2021 choice is going to be Tommy Pham, who has recovered amazingly from the crazy stab wound and also was having trouble earlier in the spring training season with his contacts, has figured that out and has been on an absolute tear since then. So he seems healthy and should just kick a bunch of ass this season. So I'm excited for that. Joel, I know you got to go soon. So do you want to do your record prediction and fatherly and bold prediction and potentially fatherly advice if you have time for all of those right now? And then we'll just kind of do ours.
Sure.
At
leisure. So it kind of gives away the game here for Tony. I one-upped him with my record prediction. I'm going to say that the Padres are going to finish 95 and 67. I'm really excited. I think they're going to be a great team this year. I don't know if I'm ready to say they're going to eclipse 100 wins yet. I would not be surprised at all if it happens. I'll put it that way.
Hater.
Fake fan.
My bold prediction. We'll go rapid fire here. My bold prediction, I think, is a pretty good one. I think it's sufficiently bold. Kind of in line with the comeback player of the year type take here. I think Chris Paddock is going to have an ERA below 3. That is my bold prediction for 2021. He's going to figure out whatever it was that was throwing him for a loop last season. He's going to break out of his severe sophomore slump that he had, because I think he's willing to put in the work. He doesn't strike me as a Hosmer type that's just going to be like, I'm going to play it my way and do what I know works for me. He's ready to grind. He's looking for ways to get better and improve. And I think it's going to pay dividends for him in 2021. And then lastly, my fatherly advice. This is a fun one. So I really admire and respect Tony's knowledge of musical acts, bands. And so I found a group, a duo actually, that just really, I'll put it this way, it scratched an itch that I didn't know I had. And I'm gonna see if Tony actually knows about these guys. So my recommendation is a band called Clowncore. Tony is shaking his head. I am successful. No. I'm super excited. Okay, so recommendation, it's got a little bit of a, what's the word, a condition, right? So I would recommend that you actually watch their videos on YouTube first. They're two guys, they're dressed in clown masks. They get kind of bucket head vibes. They don't speak at all. They're recording in a, either like a porta potty, or for the second album, they recorded in a van, an actual moving van. But these guys are electric. They're fantastic. So it's just a drummer. He's got like a snare drum, a little cymbal on top of the snare, and then like a hi-hat, and then a mini bass kick drum. And then the guy in the front seat for the van recordings, right, his partner, plays synths and a saxophone. I actually believe the drummer has a synth too, and they are incredible. But they do some really weird, not safe for work stuff, so don't watch while you're at work. They do stuff like fake crapping on a keyboard to like start a drone, and that starts the song off. Yeah, it's excellent. It's amazing. Scratches an itch I didn't know I had. There's not enough content from them. The songs are all really short, but I love it. Clowncore is my recommendation.
I have not heard of it, but I will be checking it out.
Yep. Oh, cool. You already got it in there. Beautiful. Awesome.
And with that, I bid you farewell, and Padres fans, I bid you farewell as well.
Bye, Adios. Have a fun Saturday.
Go Padres.
Go Padres. All right. Let's see. There we go. Okay, so Tony, your 2020 choice for Comeback Player of the Year was... Oh, wait. Did we already do this? Yeah, we already did that. Okay, sorry. We're on to record prediction. My bad. So,
yes.
As Joel said...
Yeah,
we did reference it. Yeah, Joel said he one-upped you. So what is yours? Just so if everyone forgot, Joel.
My record prediction is one game less than Joel at 94-68. I got Price is righted. Her head. Bob Barker or Drew Carey, whatever you want to call it. I think they're going to be really, really good. I think they are going to mostly hold their own against the Dodgers, but I think it's going to be really, really close. And it's so weird to kind of talk about like a mid-90s Padres win team as somewhat disappointing, but it might end up being that way just because it's going to be so close with the Dodgers. I really, really do not want to be in the wild card game because that is a joke. I hate that it's one game, and it would be so disappointing if they go into that and lose. So I really want them to win the division, but it's going to be really hard. So I'm going to go with 94-68 on the season.
I like that. That's, yeah, you guys are both, it's very, I believe that's in line with the projection. I was looking specifically at, I think, the ATC projections from Ariel Cohen the other day. Kind of does like this whole projection algorithm. And he had us right around 90. So that's a reasonable one. I think that's fair. I went crazy, as I am wont to do. And I said, we're going to go 101-61.
I love it.
Yeah. And what's great, not great. What's dumb is that we can do that and still be in the wild card game. There is precedent for two. I'm sure it's happened more than once, but at least most recently, what I can remember is 2001, the AL West, the Mariners 116 games, the A's, and I believe that was the year where they had like a 20 game winning streak or something. They went 102-59. Math correct? Yeah, 102-59. So 200 game winners, 100 plus game winners, in the AL West, with a couple other below 500 teams, but it's possible. You have the Giants, who aren't projected to be very good. You have the Diamondbacks, who I'm not sure it could really go either way. There's been seasons where I said they were going to be good, that they were bad. Last season, I thought they were going to be bad and decent, or maybe that was 2019. I don't know. The years blur together now, but 101-61, I think either we are amazing and the Dodgers are really, really, really amazing, which is annoying. Or, you know, Dodgers just get into some injury trouble and we are able to capitalize on that. Or we just end up being better than them. You know, it's all possible. We're very close in the team war project. So, but either way, we're in the playoffs. We're at least in the wild card based on it. So we'll move on to the bold predictions. And Jules again was that Chris Paddock would have an ERA below 3. Brian O'Grady, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases.
Of course. Very sensible of him.
Definitely. He wrote that one. He forgot to say it, but he did write it. And Garrett Richards, AL Cy Young.
Wow. Heroic. Yeah. Heroic type choice.
Just texted. So wow. He wanted to make sure the fans heard.
Oh my God. He just texted me and wow. I really don't believe it, but he is putting it in that Manny Margot is going to steal over 60 bases. Really. Wow. Really impressive stuff.
Wow.
You can listen to our old episodes to see what we think about Manny Margot stealing bases.
He's good now, but I don't know.
But he wasn't then.
He was not. my bold prediction with a parenthesis S and then an end parenthesis. Walker Buehler rips his pants a la SpongeBob on live.
I hope this happens so bad. I really want this to happen.
And then just like refuses to answer questions after. He's like, no, I'm not. This isn't the time.
It'd be so funny.
I don't want to talk about this. but my real one is that Emilio Pagan leads the National League saves. Very good team that he's playing for. A lot of save opportunities, unless we're clobbering everyone, which, hey, it could happen. But I think we all are believers in him for this season. So let's do it. Lead the NL in saves. Why not? There's a lot of closer volatility around the MLB, so it's possible. We also had, I'm assuming you have time to go through them, but if we had a couple listener bold predictions and kind of some questions here, and so we'll kind of go through all of them. These were from Twitter, which you can tweet at us at Dads Talking Dads. And we've been a little more active lately. So from Christian Ibarra has some bold predictions and some questions. So bold prediction number one is that Hosmer will make a believer out of Tony.
Bullshit. That will not happen. And you can listen back maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes for our The Unforgiven nominations, and you will see why that will not happen. And also, now we have a bookmark, so Christian, you better believe if this doesn't happen, I will be bringing it up on air in our season review. I'm wrong, we will skip over it.
Just gonna act like it never happened. That's Twitter, right. What's that? I don't think we have a Twitter.
No, we deleted
That's
it.
Weird.
And we never had it to begin with.
Oh, man. Trying to look for things to talk about with Hosmer. I mean, increased his WOBA last year, which is nice. I think increased his launch angle.
One of the scary things with Hosmer is that those nice changes did start to revert towards the end of an already short season, which makes me fearful that it is in a normal season, that would be a hot month. Or month and a half or whatever, because the season was only 2.5, barely 3 months, and I think over a full season we are going to see that play out.
Yeah, that's an important point, is, you know, how much of it really sticks over the season. I'm trying to find his, there it is. Okay, weird. Oh, I wish it would go, where is just 2020? Hold on, because on Statcast it'll actually show you the average launch angle, but I want it not yearly, I want it monthly. That's frustrating. I'll have to look for that. I think it's in the rolling averages or something. Oh well, I'll have to look for that later, because I was trying to see, because I remember that kind of happening as well. Like, it seemed really high early and then just kind of slowly lowered. Christian's second bold prediction is that Fernando Tatis loses the dreads. What would he replace them with?
It's not going to happen. There's no way you are one of the coolest looking dudes in baseball and you willingly make yourself look like a dork. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I love Manny Machado, but the dude has like the most ridiculous hairline with his buzz cut. He looks, no, I don't agree with this one. It's not going to happen. He's trimmed the dreads. I will say that they're just below like ear level now, but that's because he's going to grow them out again over the course of the season and look absolutely swagged out of his mind when he wins league MVP.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, where do you go from dreads? You kind of have to shave them and then just wait for it to grow. And I don't think he's going to, I don't think he's going to go just shaved head.
He'd look like how he looked when he was a prospect, when he looked like a sweet little baby.
Oh, man, I remember that. Yeah.
I just don't see it happening.
What if he, like, shaves it and then does, like, the Bryce Harper, like, mohawk thing, you know?
Ugh, I hope not. I don't like that.
The dreads are pretty iconic. But that would be pretty wild. Maybe he's just like really hot one day. They're just playing in like Texas or Florida or somewhere. He's just like, I can't. They're making.
Well, if he's playing in Texas, he's going to be just fine. We've seen that.
That's true. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh geez. Oh, I did find Eric Hosmer's rolling average launch angle here. So yeah, it started up pretty high. He was averaging above. It does it by the amount of batted balls. So he had like 135 or so. It looks like for 2020. And so for the first 60, he's around 10%, and then it dropped for the next 60. It was down at like 4, and then he ended up back up between 8 and kind of toward the end of this. And so, yeah, it was like kind of right in the middle there, just really it dropped, but it did go back up at the end. It's promising, but it'll be something definitely, I think, to watch.
Mm-hmm.
What's all should be back. But, and he's got some questions for us. So first one, over under 115.5 games played for Tatis. What do you think, Tony?
I'm going to go over. I'm going to say he plays just over 120. Just over.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to go over as well. That would be a real bummer if he played less than 150. That's a pretty significant chunk of time missed. I mean, that's like 2 months, basically, if you miss. That's about 50 games you're missing. So
yeah,
that is a lot.
That would be pretty disappointing, I think.
Not great.
Playing like 120, that is like a few like week-long stints on the IL, I can kind of see that, you know, a nagging hamstring injury or something like that.
The shoulder.
I can see, like, basically just giving him rest periods on the IL, which is totally fine and totally smart. I have no problem with that. So I'm going to go over.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right. Yes. Okay. So his next question for us is, what do we expect will be the split between the road versus the alternative road jerseys? So the road ones are those brown ones, and the alternative road ones are the kind of sand pinstripe one, which people really, really dig. And I'm honestly curious kind of at some point if they do fiddle with the road ones and just change it to the SD, kind of how they have, I think it's like the spring training or the batting practice ones, because that looks quite nice. And it does at least kind of switch them up so they're not all just saying San Diego across the chest. It does kind of just mix it up a little bit there, because that is very clean. But I guess what would be your ratio of the road versus alt road? I guess which would you do more?
I think you nailed it. The sand pinstripes are going to get way more wear. I would say 70-30 on those. Seems like the players like them more. I feel like the only player that came out saying he liked the brown one was Clevinger, and he wore it. But everybody else just seems to like the pinstripes. Everybody likes the home pinstripes, and I think that's going to continue. And I think you actually make a... That could be maybe a prediction for 2022. I think they will tweak that brown road jersey, because it does seem just kind of like, yeah, that one's good, but
it's there.
Everybody really likes the spring training SD on the chest, which I agree with. I think it looks pretty nice. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would love to see it around 70-30. I don't know if it's always the starting pitcher who decides the jersey or the uniform. I know in some circumstances it is, especially once you've gotten a certain amount of clout. But yeah, I think it is important. Yeah. That so many of the players, the pinstripes look very nice. That's my one jersey I have of the new Browns is the road alt. Next one, will Dinelson Lamet break our heart? What do you think, Tony?
No, it'll happen in July. I'm just kidding. I'm gonna say no. I can't bear to deal with it if it happens.
Yeah, that would really, really suck. I forgot to bring it up earlier when we were talking about Lamet, but I am encouraged that he is throwing more changeups in spring training, because I mean, even if it's not, you know, you don't need a perfect changeup when you have an amazing fastball and one of the best sliders in the game. You just need an okay changeup, and that I hope will reduce the strain on his arm enough that he is able to get through all right, and that they limit his workload enough that he doesn't need any kind of extended ILs. I'm also no on that. Number four is, what is going to be Trevor Bauer's stat versus the San Diego Padres? I don't know how many starts he's going to have. I don't know how many, you know, typically they'll have in like a season. I want to say it's maybe, what, three, I assume? Three or four? That sounds right.
Yeah. He's going to have a handful of starts.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say he has a good number of strikeouts with a mid-3 ERA. I think he's going to be hittable. He is not going to look like a Cy Young candidate. I think Manny's going to own him. But I do think the stuff is there, and there will be probably a game where he gets like 10 Ks against us or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he is talented enough definitely to do that. I love that Manny just absolutely owns him. Yes. I don't think anyone on our team is remotely scared of him. They're probably more annoyed by him, as is most of Major League Baseball. And this week in particular, Major League Baseball came out and said that they will be studying the spin rate data to look for people who are using illegal substances. And that is mostly due to Bauer last season and the previous few seasons, just talking about how a lot of pitchers are using, pine tar and other substances, and that's why the spin rate's been able to go up. And he's been pretty open about accusing Garrett Cole, his former UCLA teammate, about it. And Bauer's spin rate in particular last season was at all-time highs, which led to that Cy Young season. So I think this is basically them being like, well, if you want to be that open about it, like, now we're going to start studying it. And he either needs to be sneakier about it, or not use it, or he'll get in trouble, or maybe it'll just all blow over and nothing will happen. Sometimes that happens, but it at least seems as though they're going to be looking out for it. So I mean, if he doesn't have that extra bit of added talent, I suppose, then I think he could struggle. I'm gonna say he goes 1-2 against us. I think the mid-3s ERA is smart, because the Dodgers as well will end up pulling guys early if they need to, because they've got May, they've got Gonsolin, they've got enough bullpen guys to where they're not gonna let someone completely blow up, because they're like, we gotta preserve the bullpen. Like, they're like, nah, we have like four starters, fine. So I don't think he'll end up necessarily getting crushed, but I think he'll definitely have trouble. The other bold prediction that we received via Twitter is from Ivan Burgueno. I'm gonna say it nice and accentified. I'm not sure if that's even correct, but I like it. And his bold prediction is that CJ Abrams will start more games than Jake Cronenworth or Ha-Seong Kim. That is bold. I love it.
That is extremely bold. I am not going to pretend like I've done the math to figure out what that would mean. And I also don't know if I like it, because that means someone's being really bad. Like, someone is not playing well. Or there have been some significant injuries, which would be bad, but weirdly the more preferred option. Like, I'd rather people be injured than just they all start sucking. That is a wild prediction, and that is definitely one we'll be revisiting at the end of the season. I don't think I'm that bold. I don't think I can level with it, but I appreciate it for sure.
I think the way that it comes true, unfortunately, is
Grisham
that,
injury.
Well, I mean, that's potentially, yeah, Grisham. Or it's that at some point they trade Jake Cronenworth because his value will never be higher, and Ha-Seong Kim just really struggles. And like, there's a FAM injury or something, or a Grisham injury, and then Profar has to play the outfield, and then they're like, okay, well, let's bring up CJ Abrams. I guess we're doing that now. There is a path to playing time, but there's a lot of dominoes that have to fall first. So, but that's why it's bold. That's why it's a perfect bold prediction. Bold.
It's a great bold prediction. Yeah. It's just on the cusp of plausibility, but a few things have to go right for it to get there.
Definitely. So that is it for the awards, for the preseason predictions, the bold predictions. We're gonna move on to the next part of the show, which Joel already went over a little bit. Joel, you silly goose, I didn't recommend Clown Corps. You
oops, I typed that in there. I'm the silly goose. Honk, honk, the goose is here.
But so Joel already offered his wonderful fatherly advice, enriched your lives with that van band, clowncore. They're a van band.
I love van band. Van band is a genre.
My name is Jean-Claude Van Band.
God. Oh, no. You can tell we're close to the end.
Oh, man. All right, Tony, why don't you offer your fatherly advice since I...
Okay. My advice, my recommendation is going to be in the realm of video games, as we often dip our toes into, and it's a new entry in the Monster Hunter series for the Nintendo Switch. It's called Monster Hunter Rise. I actually, full disclosure, have not dived into it yet, but I spent a lot of time on the last one, Monster Hunter World, and this is seemingly going to be more of the same, but on the Nintendo Switch and with some improvements, so I will have more fleshed out thoughts in the future, but I feel pretty confident recommending it, especially if you're going to be playing it with other people. Really fun multiplayer game. It's fine, I think, if you want to play it by yourself, but I think the real joy is if you can have a friend or two or three, you can play up to four, get together and hunt some big ugly monsters together. So my recommendation is Monster Hunter Rise.
That is, I haven't played the Monster Hunters, but I've had some friends who are really into them. It looks, from what I've seen, looks just...
It's just a blast. Just yeah. A blast.
So my fatherly advice, of course, a father, always waking up early. I did that thing today, it's Saturday, and I wake up every day for work at about 7:15. And today, I woke up on Saturday at 7:15. I'm like doing that thing now where I'm like, no, there's no sleeping in. I just, this is when I wake up. So I'm up early, got to drink some coffee. And as I've talked about before, I'm a little bit of a coffee snob. I like to, you know, roast my beans and grind my beans and just me and my beans. And I've had this grinder for a long time, this burr grinder. It's from Bodum. It's the Bodum Bistro burr grinder. Lots of alliteration, which I like. But I've had it for a few years. The burrs are kind of old, and I wanted to go back. That's an electric grinder, and so I wanted to go back to a manual, just like a hand grinder, which is just kind of like a giant. It's not like it's like a pepper mill kind of, but for your coffee. And so I've been looking online, and I finally found one from this company called 1Z Presso. It's all one word. The number one, the letter Z, and then Presso, like from espresso. And they're located in this Chinese coffee company, but they have different grinders. And I bought one called the JX grinder, which is really good for pour-over coffee. So if you do V60 or... why am I blanking on all the things? AeroPress, or if you do... the Kalita Chemex? Wave, that's the one. Chemex, yeah. Chemex, I always forget the name of. I had a Chemex for like 2 weeks and broke it. So I haven't gone back to that yet. So the JX is a really, really good grinder. It's a little on the pricey side. It's like $135, but and it's basically a pepper mill for your coffee beans. But... it's got a really cool internal like adjust mechanism. It's all metal, so it's very quality. Came pretty quickly through the mail, and it's a great grinder. So the 1Z Presso JX grinder for all you coffee nerds out there. If you want a manual grinder, that is really good. So that is it for our fatherly advice. We've got some good music. We've got a good game to play with friends. And we've got something new to grind your beans with, because we know that the relationship with your beans is of the utmost importance. Very important. A lot of bean talk here. But if you want to talk to us about beans, coffee, black beans, Great White Northern, Pinto, Lima, any kind, what were you going to say, Tommy or Tony?
I was going to say, if you want to talk about Brian O'Grady with us, please, this is a Brian O'Grady podcast now. We are fully pivoting the Grady cast. O'Grady cast? Braincast. Braincast, obviously, the Braincast. We welcome any and all takes relating to the one and only Brian O'Grady, please.
If you have...
The Padre for now, Brian O'Grady.
He's not just a guy. If you have, you know, any fanfic with where you're shipping Brian O'Grady and Joel, please. Oh,
no. Johnny's frozen.
Oh, no, I'm frozen? Uh-oh, the internet's going in and out. This isn't good. This usually just happens while I'm working, while I'm talking with people on the phone because I have that VoIP, voice over internet protocol, like headset thing, and my Wi-Fi will go out a few times a day, and it's while I am on the phone with someone trying to help them with the stuff that we're doing. I'm not going too into detail on my work, but and then it will just go out. It will disconnect while I'm trying to assist them. It appears as though I'm back. I'm talking about my internet and how it will just decide to suck sometimes. It's actually been really good for the 2 hours that we've been recording. I'm really amazed that it just now went out. Usually it will do that quite a few times. I don't know why. So I was saying that if anyone has any fanfic with their shipping Brian O'Grady and Joel, they should also send that over to us.
Yes,
via Twitter.
Definitely.
If it's really long, send it to us via email. And if you want to know how to send that to us, Twitter, we're at Dads Talking Dads. If you were listening earlier, you should remember that. Okay. Just bringing out my inner dad. I would hope. I ain't like that. But so we are at Dads Talking Dads. You can reach out to us via email, dadstalkingdads@gmail.com. That's it.
Those are the ways. We're a two-way podcast here.
Yeah. Twitter and Gmail. Two-way. 80 grade both ways. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whichever app you like to use. Tell your friends, neighbors, dogs, teachers, bosses, exes. Tell your exes. Don't forget to rate and review. Ideally, five stars. But that is it for this week. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, guys, to leave you. So sorry. Please stop crying. That's it, though, for this week of Dads Talking Dads. I'm Johnny.
I'm Brian O'Grady.
Joel's new life.
Joel's not here.
Soulmate. There we go. That was soulmate. The word I was trying to think of. Joel's new soulmate, Brian O'Grady and Joel. Thanks for listening to another episode of Dads Talking Dads. We'll be back soon with more Padres talk during the regular season. Games are going to matter soon, people. Get ready. Get hyped.
We're hyped.
As always, go Padres.